This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. The new year is upon us, a time of endings and new beginnings as we close one year, looking forward to the fresh new year to come. Many of us considering resolutions, pausing to take stock of who and where we are in the journeys of our lives. Perhaps we should consider that a life well lived is not about getting stuff, doing stuff, and having stuff. It's really all about being true to who we are, living our moments and our daily lives fully, moving us to the call of Jesus our Christ. Make the commitment now to spend time daily reading your Bible and meditating on His Word. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs. The new year is upon us. Are you ready?
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, January 9th, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, are you ready? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the rock upon which our lives are built. Help us to live fearlessly as we begin a new year with all its uncertainties. Let the light of Christ shine ever more brightly in a world that needs the hope only He can provide. And may our spirits be refreshed as we receive your holy word. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us begin our time of prayer silently before the Lord. Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you on this Lord's Day. Father, we pause and we sanctify a day that we would spend it with you in praise, worship, prayer, and supplication. We set aside a day that we would spend with family, loved ones, in times of fellowship, friendships, the breaking of bread together, whatever it may be that brings us together as a family. Father, we set this day aside as it is important that we honor what you have called us to, and that is a day of rest, a day of worship, a day of friendships, fellowships, and grace. Father, we thank you that you call us to this. For Father, in our own lives, we might not take it for that. We may find plenty of other things. But Father, there's nothing more important than our relationship with you through Christ. There's nothing more important than our families, our friends, and those who are close to us. For Father, we are reminded, but man's days are few and full of trouble. He riseth up as a green blade of grass, but soon withers in the sun. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And Father, while that's a sobering thought, it should remind us how precious this life that you have given us is. It should remind us of how precious lives are that you put in our path, and in our friendships, and in our relationships. Father, it should remind us to hold them dear, to love them wholly, to forgive them often, and Father, to just be patient and kind as you are with us. For your Son commanded us to love as we have been loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven. And Father, in a minute, we're going to pray that together. So Father, we pray this morning that you just hear our hearts, into our friendships, our fellowships, and those you put in our path. Father, may we love them as best we can. But Father, that doesn't mean we love sin. That doesn't mean that sin is right. But we're called to love the sinner and not the sin. For Father, we all sin and fall short. Forgive us, we pray. Strengthen us that in our repentance we can stay turned away, that we can stay in that new path, in that new way. And Father, we thank you that you promise us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us when we cannot have the strength, do not have the strength, do not have the words, when so many do-nots enter our lives. You show up with your power, your presence, and your Holy Spirit and turn those into we cans, we will, and we shall. Father, hear our hearts and prayers for many among us who need them, for those who have called upon us to remember them, and those needs silently within our own hearts and lives that are private, but not before you. For before you all things are known. And Father, we pray for our church here at 1515 Egger Street. Not the building, but this place we meet with these people with whom we meet. Father, we pray that you would use us, that we would be available, that we would be willing, and that we would step forward in grace, empowered by your Spirit, to touch the lives of people in our community, to let them know of your love, your grace, and your mercy. For there is so much brokenness around us, Father. So much doubt in hearts that there's hope. In a lot of people's minds, it's not even there, especially among our youth. So, Father, help us show them hope that is eternal in you. And, Father, we pray for other churches in our communities. Father, may we take down these denominational lines, these divisions of denomination. And Father, let us join together as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, for the good of the call upon our lives, the ministries of our lives, and to the lives of others. Father, help us see nothing but you, to serve you the way Christ calls us to serve, in commitment, dedication, honesty, and integrity, putting away our own biases and our agendas, and seek you first. And Father, we pray for churches around the world to be united in Christ, to be centered on your scriptures, and to know love and to share it into the world. And Father, I would pray that we would grasp and the world would see and know once again the call of Wesley and his irresistible grace that he saw was in Christ. And that we might echo the words of his brother Charles as we say to people, let me introduce to you my Jesus, my Christ, the one of grace and mercy. Father, we pray today that there be revivals kindled, lives changed. And Father, we're seeing that in places. It's popping up and it's happening. Father, we pray to be a part of that here in Rock Springs, in some way, to be a part as you would call us. And Father, we pray today, not only for the needs of our hearts, our lives, and churches, But Father, we pray for our government and those who are in service in different ways, from our military to our hospital staff to our elected officials, for those who volunteer of their time in service. Father, we pray for them today that they would know your peace and grace in all they do, and that they would seek you and serve you in it with integrity and honesty, with values that are taught upon the heart, not just precepts, concepts, and ideals. And Father, we pray for those who are shut-ins in nursing homes and hospitals, for those who mourn, for those who give care, for those who are lost. We lift them all before you today. And now we pray together, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive others' sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God.
I guess I'm just going to step in it this morning and get it stepped in. So I want to get some things out there really quick. And In the church, for the last 2,000 years, we have argued about baptism in one way, form, or another, since the first water spilled on a table, and I don't know how long ago that was. We've argued about whether you should be immersed, sprinkled, dipped three times forward, three times back, poured over a gourd, baptize babies, don't baptize babies. After somebody's baptized, what happens? Who are they? The reality is, there are two sacraments that we recognize in the church. One, the most important one for us, I think, is the covenant we call Holy Communion, where we remember the life, death, resurrection, all put together in that Passover meal. And Jesus said to us, do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. In other words, in remembrance of my life, of my death, on the cross, redemption, salvation, and all that thing. And then we get over to the Great Commission, where Jesus says to his disciples, after the resurrection, by the way, after he has getting ready to go back up to heaven, he says, all power has been given to me under heaven and on earth. You are to go and to preach the gospel, the good news, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things I have commanded you. Now, baptism isn't salvation. please hear me. There isn't enough water in the world to wash away one sin. Not enough. Water doesn't cleanse you. It is the shed blood of Christ on the cross. The Bible makes it plain that Jesus is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. So then why do we baptize? Why are we commanded to baptize? Well, I got a question for you. In our text, this is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, if you didn't get that title in your bulletin. This is a day we honor and remember just exactly what we read, that Jesus too was baptized in the Jordan. Did Jesus have sin? No. Jesus had no sin. So is baptism about sins? No. Baptism then must be about something else. Baptism must be important, or Jesus wouldn't have told us to do it. So let's figure out what is baptism. How many of you remember your baptism? Some don't. I remember all of mine. There were a lot of them, and you've heard the stories. I've been baptized 5 times, electrocuted at one of them. If you haven't heard that story, I'll tell it sometime, but I won't bore you with it, because I think I've told it every year, I think, maybe. Anyway, you just need to know, don't touch a hot mic. Back in the old days, yes, we had color television, Nick, back in the 60s, but microphones, these things, were deadly back then. They had 110 volts on them. They would light you up. So that's a story for another time. So I've been baptized. I've been immersed. All 5 times were immersion baptisms, starting when I was about 6. I remember them. I remember that pastor taking his handkerchief out, put it over my face, and I thought, you know, I had watched TV shows where that always meant they were about to ether you and you were going to pass out. You know, all those. But to be immersed, it was a big thing. And I remember, I guess it was the second time I was baptized, and the pastor looked at me, and I don't remember how old I was, and he said, "Everything that goes under the water belongs to God." So he put me under. So I guess everything belonged to God. I don't know who it belonged to before then. And I think most people still believe that when everything goes under, it all belongs to God. So most people hold one of these up, you know. So this ain't going. The money, don't go. The wallet, it ain't going. It's mine. I'm keeping it. I'll do with it what I want to. God, you can get yours the best way you can. I got mine. Remember, the only reason you have this is God blessed you. And not just this, but family, friends, loved ones are all gifts from God. Don't take any of them for granted. So here we've got the text laid out. I'll get to all that other stuff, try to tie all this back in this morning. I told Carrie I was a little rat brain this morning, but I feel better. I've got Nicholas taking notes because he's got a test after church. So you might want to be sure he got his notes down, everybody. I really do. He's got a test after church. Because he was at Sunday school this morning, and he's got a test. It's not like a pass or fail thing. It's more for my information. All the people were filled with anticipation. They knew this was the time of the Messiah. They knew this was the fulfillment of God. They knew this was the time. They knew this was the place. And they think John the Baptist is him. They think that John the Baptist is the one, the only. They're following to him. They're flocking to him. They're being baptized. He's preaching a stern message of repentance and preparing the way of the Lord. So they come and they ask him, are you him? And John says, no, I'm not. But listen to what else John says. It is important that we hear this. How many types of people are in the world today? 2. It's important. Verse 15, and the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. And John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire. How many of you believe in Jesus as your Savior? You get a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you're going to get one with fire too. And folks, that means sometimes it's going to be difficult. As soon as you tell the devil, and the devil finds out you're on the side of Jesus, you might as well have painted a big bullseye on your back. Get ready for him to launch the fiery darts to try to deceive you, to cause you to doubt, deception, and all of that stuff. So anyway, baptize you with fire. His winnowing fork. Anybody know what a winnowing fork is? Linda does. You're it. Kathy, you do. You were from a grain country, wasn't you? So a winnowing fork, just so you know, a threshing floor. How many of you know what a threshing floor is? Okay, good. Daddy had a threshing floor, but he never had a winnowing fork. He had a belt. So it was a little different. He tried to beat the devil out of me instead of cast him out, I guess. So, but a winnowing fork is you pitch the grain up in the air and the wind would blow it off and separate it out. There was a separating, the winnowing fork. Being a Christian means to be separate, set apart, different, peculiar, while in this world, but not all of those things. We are separated in that winnowing fork. Two kinds of people in the world today, lost and saved. There's not black, white, there's not any race, there is at all. It's lost and saved, folks. It's lost and saved. You remember the song we sing at communion? One bread, one body, one Lord of all. All of those things. There's two kinds of people, lost and saved. Period. Period. Jesus came to divide the nations into lost and saved. Believers or unbelievers. Folks, that's it. That's the list. You're in or you're out. There isn't a fence to straddle. There isn't a maybe. And I tell people all the time, if you ask me and say, well, Pastor, how do I know? Then you ain't. How do I know for sure? You're not. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift of God, we'll talk about a little more, that will assure you of your redemption, of your salvation, and of your belief. It isn't going to be by your works. It isn't going to be by your skills, talents, and abilities, wealth, income, position, status, or anything. It's a personal relationship with Him that He confirms through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Write that down. It confirms. Confirms. So he's got his winnowing fork and he's separating it. And I am not worthy to untie his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff, he will burn with unquenchable fire. Two groups. You know something a little happier now? Go with me now to verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, everybody else had been baptized, John's crowd was dwindling, there was one left, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. You need to underline that. When he was praying, praying. Prayer is your connector. Prayer is your lifeline. Prayer is your communication device. Do you realize how important communication is? Really? The next time you're locked out of your vehicle, your car, your house, talk very sternly but gently to the lock. Communication is key. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Garrett's giving me that look. Do you see that over there? Dad joking, church, really? Communication. Jesus has just been baptized. All the crowds are baptized. This sinless person has been baptized in the Jordan that righteousness might be fulfilled. We'll be back to that. He's been baptized. Now he is praying. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to get there in prayer. If you want to have heavens open for you, you've got to talk to God about it. If you want help with your problems, you've got to confess them to God. You got to get there in the name of Jesus. Prayer is your cornerstone, my connector. If you are ignoring prayer, daily, structured, unstructured prayer, fervent, often prayer, then you are missing the key to knowing your relationship with God is secure, but also knowing what to do with that relationship that you've received. So prayer, he's in prayer. While he's in prayer, look what happens. And the heavens opened up. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have got somewhat nervous if I'd have been there. If I'd have been looking up in heavens, I don't know what that looks like. My mind can't even imagine what that, but I'm going to guess it would be an amazing thing, something only God can do. And heavens opened up. And I want you to see what happens. And the heavens are opened. He's praying. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form as a dove. What's a dove a symbol of? Peace. Really good. Sort of. It is peace. But it's more than that. It's a symbol of covenant, promise. The olive branch is a symbol of peace. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and the power, promise, and presence of God. The world wants you to think it's just about peace. We'll use it over the United Nations, but in the church, that dove's got a lot more meaning. Pastor, what do you mean? Okay. Is that the only place? How many of you remember that we meet the dove the first time at the Noah's Ark scene? Remember? He sends out first the raven. The raven don't come back. A little while later, he sends out the dove. The dove comes back, lights on, and it's got an olive branch in its beak, signifying to Noah, the flood's over, the earth's regrowing. God's promise to Noah was what? I won't destroy the world that way again. And he put a rainbow in the sky, so there's a covenant. This dove is representing God's promise. God's promise. God's presence. God had not forgotten those people. Do we find doves anywhere else in Scripture? Do we remember the baptism of Jesus? Do we remember his circumcision? Do we remember? Come on. Come on, you've read it. What do they do? When they had done all things required by the law, they took him in. Zechariah hadn't spoke until now. And when they had sacrificed two doves, Zechariah was able to open his mouth and tell him what his name would be. So now you've got this dove, the symbol of peace, the symbol of covenant, the symbol of God's deliverance. Do you see all of that lighting on Jesus? It wasn't just the Holy Spirit coming. It wasn't just a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming. It was this whole assemblage that they would not have missed, that they would have saw in that dove, in that place, in that time. They would have saw a new thing that God is about to make happen because God has shown up. And sure enough, the next thing happens, and then something happens. While he's praying, the heavens are open. The Holy Spirit descends in a bodily form. You can't mistake it. You might have dismissed that open sky thing, but now there's something real. There's something happened. The dove's come down. It's landed on him. Well, we could throw that off. We could just say the bird was hungry and he looked like a snack, you know, or something like that. Or maybe the bird saw a bug on his back and saw a snack, whatever. But that ain't all that's going on. So let's go on. There's just a little more. Got to get these bifocals in the right place. Bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. Comma, we'll stop right there. And a voice came from heaven. God has arrived. No, God was already there. He's just letting people hear him. And a voice comes from heaven. And a voice, God is speak, and now he has something to say. And he speaks to Jesus. You need to get this. You, singular, are my son. Everybody there heard the voice of God speak to Jesus and say to him, you are my son. He has been identified with God on high. He is God's son. It's been affirmed. It was all in the prophecy. They all saw it. Now, you are my son. You are. It's personal. It isn't scattered. He didn't say, hey, what do you guys think of this guy out here with the wet hair? You know, what do you think about this guy over here that's been praying? The rest of you didn't pray when you got done. He did. He's a little different. What do you think about what I did up here with the sky opening? Wasn't that pretty cool? You know, not many people can do that. Even those magicians down in Egypt, they can't do that. You know, all that. But no, he says, you are my son. You are my son. And I love you. You are my son. And I love you. In the Greek, it is the I have, I do, and I will, all in one. Here it translates my beloved. But here it is I have loved you. I love you now, and I will always love you. You see, here's the deal. It don't matter what you face. It don't matter what you go through. There's one thing in this life that does not end, and there's only one thing in this life that does not end other than our soul and its place in heaven, and that is love. Love never ends. Death can't take it. Death doesn't diminish it. Love never ends. It sticks. If it ends, it wasn't love. Love never ends. Hold on to that. How many of you lost somebody you loved? Did it change? Did your love for them change? It wasn't diminished in that, was it? Love never ends. So this is my son. I love you, my son. I have, I do, and I will. And with you, I am more than pleased. This is my son. No, you are my son. I have loved you. I do love you. I will love you. I am pleased with you. One of the other original texts adds at that point an announcement to all the people to listen to him. Luke doesn't have it. We'll stay with Luke. Now, why was that important that God do this down at the river? Jesus is commissioned here. Jesus' earthly ministry begins at this point. This is when he comes out. This is when he goes out. He'll go from here to 40 days of temptation in the wilderness with the devil. I think he needed to know that God loved him. I think he needed to know that God would always love him and that God was pleased with him. Because I've got news for you. When we face those trials and tribulations, we need to know God loves us and that God is with us and that God's love will not diminish. This is the commissioning for us as Christians. Our baptism represents a commitment and a covenant to a faith community, not a denominational standard. When we are baptized as an infant, our parents take that covenant for us. They renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. They promise to be committed to raise that child so that at a time in its life, it can accept Christ on its own. That's why we have, what do we call them, Nick? Confirmation. Told you, write that down. Confirmation classes. Catechism. There's all different names for them. It's so that we can let you remember your baptism, learn about it. We're going to be having one in the spring. And then on Easter Sunday, typically we bring those confirmed people and we present them to the church, and they make that profession then on their own. We don't baptize them again because it isn't the water, remember? It's the covenant. It's the commitment. That, my friends, is your commissioning into ministry, into a covenant community where we should hold each other accountable and lift each other up. Have you read the baptismal covenant lately? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Yeah. Do you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, page 33 if you want to look it up. I said if my fact checker was going over there yet. It's page 33. Do you promise to support the ministries of the church with all your talents, gifts, and abilities, so on and so forth? It's in there. You make that covenant. Have you got there yet? I see some of you are going there. That's good. Well, Pastor, what does all this have to do with us? Jesus was sinless. Jesus was blameless. But Jesus said, this must I must do. Why? Have you ever thought about it, really? Maybe that's just something preachers think about. It would not be long when Jesus would have the sins of humanity placed on his back. And he would not just be baptized. He would become the sacrifice for our sins. He who was sinless would take on our sins. Not only that, but Jesus did not separate himself from us, the common people, the sinners, the ones who realize it. But he came among us. He took the baptism as did everybody else. He would eat with publicans. He would eat with sinners. He'd touch lepers. Oh my. He would do all of these things. He would minister to the last, the least, the lost, the marginalized. Look who he picked for disciples. You see, Jesus was about reaching out to all. He preached to all, governors and paupers, lepers and doctors. Luke, the one we're reading about, is a physician who wrote this letter. Christ bridged all generations because he was there. He was part of them. And guess what he promised us? Do you remember? It's important. I will be with you always. And do you know what happens when we accept Christ? And we receive the Holy Spirit? We become sons and daughters of Almighty God. And the same love and gift that Christ received at that Jordan River is ours too. Because of God's love, grace, and amazing power, his love is poured out for us. We become that person individually whom God will say, you are my beloved. I have loved you from the foundation of the world, and I love you now, and I will love you forever. And Paul will write in Romans 8, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall nakedness, peril, famine? None, nay, more to thee. Paul says, I am convinced that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Why would the world not want it? Why does the world not see that it needs it? Why is this church not packed this morning with people ready to say, thank you, God, for loving me? Because they haven't heard about it. They don't believe it. They don't see it. They don't know it. Because if they did, they couldn't keep it away. Wesley would call it irresistible grace. It would move so much within their hearts and lives and turn their lives upside down. My life's not the same since I've known Jesus. Is yours? Mine's not. I don't see things the same way that I used to. I don't hear things the same way that I used to. And thank God I don't react to things the same way I used to. How about you? You see, God changes lives. Instead of seeing life as a problem, instead of seeing life as what you've lost, God will help you see that life is an opportunity and that you can treasure that you had, not that you lost. To focus on our blessings. The devil will focus you on the loss. God puts you in the win column. God will let you see the good in people. Satan will point out every fault that they have. Oh, and by the way, then he'll turn the mirror on you and say, oh, let me tell you about you. But God will say, I love you. I know you got problems. I know you're struggling. I know you make mistakes, but I love you still. How many of us know that love? How many of us feel that love? Folks, I am so grateful for it this morning. I don't understand. I pray every night. Ain't that scary? I pray every night, thanking God for his love, grace, and mercy. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it, and I don't know why. I'm not worthy of it. But Jesus thought I was, and he thinks we all are. I think sometimes we need to remember we're his and he's ours. He loves us and the world can't take it away no matter what happens. It's amazing love. Beloved, that's who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Can we reflect on that for just a minute? We are, each one of us, called by name. When we accept Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins, restoration of our relationship with God. We don't just receive eternal life. We receive God, his love and grace. Instead of his condemnation, instead of being blown out off of that threshing floor, we fall gently there. His beloved, cared. And he won't leave us, and he won't forsake us. We enter into a covenant between ourselves and Almighty God. Yeah, we may profess it in a church somewhere, that too. But the greatest covenant isn't between us and a denominational standard, but between us and Almighty God. It's one-on-one, and it's personal. But it's so sweet, so loving, and so caring. I want you to pray with me this morning, if you will. Let us join together. Oh, Lord, thank you for your love. I don't understand it, but I am grateful. I sometimes am not faithful, but you are. I thank you that you love me as I am. And I thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you help change my life. You help me see differently. You help me love deeper. You show me how to forgive. You give me hope. And Father, I pray today that I can tell others about what you have done, will do, can do, and want to do in their lives. Amen. May we go to know that God's love surpasses all understanding, and that we too, when we accept him as our Savior, should listen closely to that still small voice that will say to us, you are loved by me. Now may we go in grace, peace, and mercy, the grace and peace of God. the mercy of God. May we go truly in that peace that surpasses understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.